Welcome to the Bluffton Presbyterian Church podcast. Worship service starts at 10:15 a.m. on Sundays. For more information, visit us at blufftonpc.org.
The announcements, I have a couple here just to draw your attention to. The Christian Ed Walkers, they are in need of some help. The first time that we do it is Tuesday, March 26th. And so if you can do this, there is a sheet in the back to sign up. Also, the youth group is not meeting today. We will meet next Sunday from 5 to 7. Also, in 2 weeks, we have the family fun day with the chili, lunch, and bowling. If you plan to go bowling, please sign up in the back. Does anyone else have any other announcements? No?
I have a question.
You think I have an answer?
Well, somebody here will.
Okay.
It's on
a Saturday. I told you. What day is that, Diane? 23rd, is it? Yeah. Does that answer your question, Drew? Okay. Any other announcements? Prepare to worship God.
Our opening reading comes from Psalm 63. My soul is satisfied as with a rich feast, and my mouth praises you with joyful lips when I think of you on my bed, and meditate on you in the watches of the night, for you have been my help, and in the shadow of your wings I sing for joy. Please follow along in our call to worship. Let all who thirst come to the water. Let all who hunger come join the feast.
We come seeking God's heavenly food, food that satisfies our deepest desires.
Let all who mourn come and be comforted.
We come seeking fellowship with our living
and loving God. We join our voices, our hearts, and our lives on this journey to be people of God and able. Let us stand together and sing.
Thank you.
Thank you. You may be seated. You might be thinking to yourself, why is getting the music stand so early? We haven't done enough yet. Well, we're moving things around. We've done this once before where we had communion early in the service, and we're going to do that again today. And while we don't move it permanently, sometimes it's good to shift things a little bit. Because sometimes we see things in a little different way. For example, have you ever come home early and see what your kids are doing when they weren't expecting to see you? And you learn that it's important to sometimes do things differently just to see what the rats are really up to. Not that we see our kids as rats. Or have you ever had a vacation and you actually got to see your spouse while there's still daylight? And you look at them and you go, oh, yeah, you. So it's good to do this. So what are we trying to see by having communion early? Normally, communion is something we do after. We do it after scripture. We do it after choir. We do it after sermon. But there's something very basic and real to us, and that is communion. The first communion happened before any of us, before anything we did. Christ chose to share himself in that way long before I was ever alive. And so when we share it early, we see that there is a promise of God's grace, even before we do anything. So remember, according to our faith, everyone is welcome at this table. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. As we come to the Lord's table, remember that it is the Lord's will to forgive us of our sins. But for him to do so, it's important that we have not only sought the Lord's forgiveness for our sins, but that we have forgiven others of their sins towards us. If someone has hurt us deeply, this can be difficult. But remember that in Colossians, the scripture read, remember that on the cross, Christ forgave us of our sin. He even forgave those who condemned him to death. Luke records that as he was on the cross dying, Christ said, if Jesus forgave those who killed him, what is there in our lives that we are not quite ready to forgive? We must forgive others everything, no matter how great the hurt or the sin. For Christians, this is not optional. We are commanded to forgive as the Lord forgave us. If we want to be forgiven, we must forgive. That's it. No ifs, ands, or buts. Matthew's gospel records that the Sermon on the Mount, where Jesus teaches, let us take this time not just to come clean before our God, but to commit ourselves to Christ's teaching, to work at reconciliation. In all we do, let us remember the affirmation in John's first letter.
If we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us.
Friends, as we come to the Lord's table, let us take a moment to pray, to confess our sins, to forgive others who have sinned against us, and to ask the Lord's forgiveness. Please turn your songbook. Lord, help us to see our need to both forgive and for forgiveness. Help remind us through many ways, including the prayer that your Son taught us, that we now share together as one family, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Friends, hear the good news of the gospel about our life in Christ. There is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit who gives life has set us free from the law of sin and death. Let us stand together and sing. It's always funny to start looking who I can pick on a Sunday. Yeah. As we start passing the peace today, I want you to try something different. Not the conversations, which I know we all do anyways, but rather do this. I forgive you.
I forgive you too.
And that's the right response. And that's all we need to do. The peace of Christ be with you. Please pass the forgiveness of Christ around you. And I forgive you. So, we aren't going to be doing the can for a while. We're going to be doing the jug. And Christian Ed, that's the people who talk to me, there's a lot of people who talk to Pastor, about what we do for you guys. And I talked about this, and we want you to try something else. We want you to try the jug. And that is, we're going to put our change in here for the next couple of weeks. And we're going to wait till we get it full. Okay? And when it gets full, you guys and I are going to talk, and we're going to decide what to do with it. We're going to try and help some kids with it. So we might be feeding some kids. We might be fixing play structures with it. But we want your money to go out and do something for kids like you. But to do that, we need to first get some change in there. So, if you have your change, we can pass it this week, but pretty soon you can't pass it because it's going to get too heavy. Do I have a parent of one of these children who is willing to be a volunteer? And a silence. Oh, okay. Please, sir. Notice I asked them to volunteer. It's fun to watch the kids. Pick on my dad. That's a good start. It'll be amazing what we can do together. Hey, Dad.
Hey, Dad.
Dad? Papa? Daddy?
Dad's good.
Hey, you? Okay. Have you guys ever wanted to do something by yourself? Yeah? Do you ever want to get away from Mom and Dad and you really want them to leave you alone? Yeah. This is something all kids feel. Any adult children ever feel like this? They want to get away from Mom and Dad? Even when Mom and Dad are still watching over you? Yeah. But let me ask you a question. We have a dad here. What if I took Dad entirely away? And there was no more Dad. I know first off you might be like, hey, party! I get to eat all the chocolate I want. And there's some kids going, what can we get rid of Dad? But what would happen if I got rid of Dad and Dad didn't come back? Chaos. Yeah, probably would be, especially here at his house. It would be chaos. What do dads do for you? Or moms? Feed you? And you get hungry, don't you? You want more food. You always guys want more food. Yeah. Keep you healthy. Yeah, who gives you medicine? Who takes you to the doctors? Even those fun things called shots. Yeah, what else do the parents do?
Help us with homework.
Help you with...
For me, then, I would have been
getting Jesus. Ooh. Good confession, by the way. Yeah, they help us out with homework. I mean, imagine if you guys didn't have any parents to help you with homework anymore. Yeah. Oh, they give you presents. Everybody likes presents from parents, right? I still like presents from my parents. What other sort of things do parents do? They keep the house going, right? Can you imagine if Mom and Dad weren't around, what would happen to the house? How about they drive you places? So while it's really tempting to think, if Dad would just leave me alone, I'd be okay. In reality, we're really happy we have Mom and Dads around to help us out with all this stuff, right? It's the same thing with God. Sometimes we want to say we want to do it all ourselves. But when we stop and look at all the things God does for us, it's an incredible list. And really, we're very thankful God's out there for us. Can we have a short prayer? Holy God, we all have those ideas about getting rid of our parents, but help remind us that they really do a lot for us, just as you do a lot for us, and that we don't need to do everything by ourselves, and that you can help us out. Amen. I like the shoes. Please return to your bulletin so we can continue on. And let us hear also how important it is that we see that our loving God, our parent, is around us. Sometimes we're tempted to say we can do it on our own. We don't need to have all this extra stuff. We don't need God. But the reality is without Dad, we'd be pretty lost. By the way, it was very fun to watch during the passing of the peace, as husband and wife forgave each other. I see a couple of grins right now. I won't single you out. I see a couple of business partners forgiving one another. I see a couple of session members forgiving one another. We could do worse things, friends. Please follow along in your bulletin. Loving God, you made this world marvelous for us to enjoy. You gave Jesus to be our teacher, our Savior, our friend. Through his work, he brings us to you. You sent your Spirit to make us one family in Christ. For these gifts of love, we thank you. And we join with the angels and saints in this joyful hymn of praise. For your kindness to us and your goodness to all, we give you thanks, Lord. We thank you that you showed your love by sending your Son, who gave his life for us and rose again from death, and who lives to pray with us forever. We thank you that he has taken away all that separates us from you and has made us friends with you and with one another. We thank you that he has brought us together at this table to strengthen us by his love. Send your Holy Spirit now upon these gifts of bread and juice, that we might know Christ's presence, real and true, and be his followers, faithfully showing your love for all the world. Can the servers please come forward? We celebrate this feast in obedience to Christ's example and mandate. Wow. The Lord Jesus, on the night he was arrested, took bread, and after giving thanks to God, he broke it. And he gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, he took the cup, saying that this cup is the covenant sealed in my blood, shed for you in the forgiveness of sins. Whenever you drink of it, do this in remembrance of me. So every time we eat this bread and we drink of this cup, we proclaim the saving work of the risen Lord. Let us come together, for the table is ready. the bread of life. The cup of life. I am an Alton Brown fan, and if you don't know who that is, go look him up. He's hilarious. He's basically one of those celebrity chefs, but he's almost more of a chemist than a chef at times. But one of the things that stuck in my brain from watching one of his shows was is that man liked bread. And he took off the shelf one time a loaf of Wonder Bread from a grocery store, and he takes it and he smashes it all together. And he finally ends up with a little ball about that big. And he talks to the camera about how most of our store-bought bread is mostly air. And there's not a lot of nutrition to it. They have to put nutrition into it. In comparison, this ain't air. This is the good stuff. Sometimes when we think about the good stuff, we think more about this side, but this is good. When I think about communion, about the bread of life, I think about a hearty bread, something you can tell that's in your mouth, not just vapid air that comes out of a factory someplace. What a wonderful image. Thank you for sharing that with us today. Please follow along in your bulletin for our response of praise. We have come before God. Now to God, who by the power at work within us is able to accomplish abundantly far more than we can ask or imagine. Does anyone like the paraphrase called The Message by Eugene Peterson? A couple of hands going up. This week, I decided to read this passage in the Message. It's not that much different, but it's fun. Because you'll notice something if you listen real closely. You'll hear why Eugene Peterson decided to call it the Message. Hear again the words of the gospel. At this time, Jesus came from Nazareth in Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. The moment he came out of the water, he saw the sky split open and God's Spirit, looking like a dove, come down upon him. Along with the Spirit, a voice, "You are my Son, chosen and marked by my love, pride of my life." At once, the same Spirit pushed Jesus out into the wild. And for 40 days in the wilderness and 40 nights, he was tested by the evil one. Wild animals were his companions, and the angels took care of him. After John was arrested, Jesus went to Galilee, preaching the message of God. "Time's up. The kingdom of God is here. Change your life and believe the message." Hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. Our second reading comes from the book of Hebrews. "Therefore, since we have a great high priest who has ascended into heaven, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold firmly to the faith we profess. For we do have a high priest who is able to empathize with our weaknesses. We have one who has been tempted in every way, just as we are, yet he did not sin. Let us then approach God's throne of grace with confidence, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need." Hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. So we've been talking about Lent and this 40 days in the wilderness, and we've talked about how wilderness can be good for us. We can pick up different things from this time. First, we talked about how this can be a time of learning, how sometimes it's important to set aside a time where we're without distractions to dedicate, to say, what's important? A time of learning. Last week, we talked about a time of challenge, how being in the wilderness can push us and can challenge us with our assumptions and our directions. This week, we're going to talk about a time of dependence. Wilderness times, those times that are beyond the norm. Those times that are challenged. Those times that are, well, you'll see. Those are the times when we can often discern our dependence on God the best. Just like little ones figuring out that we really do need dad to have food on the table. And as such, this is an important part of any wilderness experience. Have you ever had one of those perfect friends? I know I've had a few. These are the friends who have a perfect marriage, who never fight, and who you'd complain to, and they go, "Oh, if you just love each other, it'll be perfect." And you want to strangle them. Or those friends who have never had a day of unemployment in their entire life, who say, "Well, just get back out there and you'll do great." And you're thinking, "Where's the door?" You've had one of those, right? You've had at least one of those perfect friends in your life who really haven't experienced what you're going through. Whether it's illness, unemployment, frustration with family, frustration with yourself, frustration with your faith. And to hear them say, "It's going to be all perfect," it just rubs you the wrong way. And you start quickly looking for another place to be. That's not what we have in Christ. Sometimes we like to make Christ out as squeaky clean, as if somehow his sandals never really got dirty, and that he never had to do laundry, because, well, he's Christ, right? But remember what we say, fully human, fully divine. The writers of Hebrews teach us that Jesus Christ was fully there. And while he is, as they use the term, the great high priest, it is a high priest who is able to sympathize with our weakness. It's a high priest that understands what it's like to be tempted, because he was there himself. So when he says, I want you to do this, I want you to forgive your sister, I want you to work with your workmate, he's not saying that as one of those perfect friends, but rather someone who's been there. Someone who sees exactly what it's like to be at the end of a very long day and you really don't want one more question. He has been in every respect as tested as we are. So then, we're not dealing with somebody who doesn't have any life experiences, but rather someone who's seen it all. So when we hear the words, let us approach the throne of grace with boldness, so that we might receive mercy and find grace in our time of need, we know that we are being told that through the spirit of someone who has seen it, who has dealt with it. It's so much more comforting when you have cancer to have someone else who has also survived say, I know it hurts, but we'll walk through this. It's so much more comforting when you have marital problems for someone else to say, yes, it would be very tempting to strangle my husband, but if you don't, it can get better. Let's walk together. It's important to know someone understands us. Christ understands our loneliness and our despair. He understands the wilderness experiences. Whatever wilderness we find ourselves in, Christ understands, because he's been there. A few years ago, there was a story about a newspaper journalist who decided to take about 3 months and go live as a homeless man. He dropped everything he had and went out, and he originally did it as an article. But what he found out himself doing was identifying. He turned from a journalist reporting to a friend, and eventually an advocate. He spoke out because he walked with. So it is with Christ. Christ walked where there are outcasts. This is part of the message of the cross. Jesus walks where we walk. When we think about not only the Easter we're looking forward to, but throughout all of our Bible and all of our stories, there are many times we hear the people have been in wilderness and have come to the same conclusion as Christ came. God is with me. I can be sustained through this. You think about being out in the Exodus where the people received manna and the pillar of clouds. And through it all, the people learned to be habitually dependent on God, as Christ was. that each new day brought them a new reminder of what was possible if they said, "Daddy, I need you. I can't do it all by myself." Let us remember, certainly, that in our own Lord's Prayer, Jesus tells us daily bread, not everything. We have these hard times. We have times when we are out in the wilderness and we don't know the right direction to go. Like we talked about last week, how we feel that everything's on top of the world, then it gets yanked out from underneath us. We all have them. I was joking about with this morning with my class that if you're like me, you've actually had more like 30,000 of them. What's important to learn is that we're not alone in that. God is willing to be there with us. God is willing to share angels in our presence. God is willing to have even animals be our companions. God is willing to walk through those 40 days with us that we need. And not only the Creator, but also the Christ is willing to be there, as is the Holy Spirit. If we are, and this is the important one, willing to ask, so often, and I've been very guilty of this myself, we come to that bump in the road and we say some version of, "I'll do it myself." I had a couple of days off this last week, tried to get some rest, and you probably remember it was raining pretty heavily, and I missed a turn where I was driving to go take my little one out to dinner, and I thought, "Oh, I'll just whip right around and get back in that turn." And my wheels went just off the pavement. Some of you are grinning at me, so you already know what happens. When you have a very heavy front-wheel drive car, and your wheels leave the pavement onto a wet, grassy hill, where does the rest of the car follow? Down the hill. So here I am, with an angry, hungry three-year-old in the back seat, down the hill with a 4,000-pound car. And what does Daddy try and do by himself? Get the car back up the hill. Without really thinking about it, I turn my wheels and punch it. And we sink about 3 inches lower. I hem and I haw, and I turn the wheel this way, I turn the wheel that way, and I keep on trying, and eventually I get the mud almost up to the axle of my little Ford. I get out, and I look at it, and I realize I am sunk good because I tried to do it myself. Eventually, I had to call two very nice young men to pull me out in all my glory. And I realized there's nothing wrong with understanding I need to be dependent on somebody. A lot of times, Americans, we like to say, "I'm independent." We hold up independence above almost everything else. "Look at me, I'm a self-made man." No, you're not. No one's self-made. Someone's been behind you. Someone's been helping you. Someone encouraged you. Someone fed you. Someone changed you. We are not independent. We only try and act that way. When we stop and we go, "God, I am up to my axle in mud, and I need someone to pull me out. It's those times I realize that we all can realize that we don't have to do it alone. And so often, that's one of the powers of a wilderness experience, to realize you really aren't out there by yourself, and you really don't need to be. Let us stand, please. Thank you. You may be seated. So many of our songs derive somewhere from a preacher or a theologian sitting down and trying to wrestle with a thought. And this is true whether you're dealing with new songs or old songs. But with this song, this is something very interesting. We have a couple of these. This is a spiritual. That means it's from those who are in slavery. Think about what it means to sing that song as a slave. To see that there is a balm that can heal anything in that level of bondage. And to have the faith to be able to say that. Acknowledging that God always does have the heal to our hurt, let us share our joys and concerns. Are there any joys that we'd like to share with the congregation this morning? Yes, sir.
It's Jake's 8th birthday today.
Hey, happy birthday, sir. Other good news. This is going to sound really funny, so wait till I get past the comma. My mother-in-law, my wife, and my daughter are gone today. That's the comma. That's not the good news. Because they are off attending my wife's sister's wedding. And she is getting remarried and found a new father for her kids, and it's just a wonderful situation. But that's certainly also about a six-hour round-trip ride with a three-year-old. So think of Michelle. There's no other joys, are there prayer concerns to be shared? Also from the family, this is kind of a full-time. Many of you heard that my mother-in-law lost her sister about a week ago. On Thursday, we heard her other sister died. So the family has lost both girls. Jerry's the only one left from the family in about a week and a half time. So a very full time for the family, especially with a wedding in the mix also. Must have been a very quiet week for you. Yes, sir. Please keep Dick Reeder in your prayers. Also, I received a note this morning that Owen Zissler's sister passed away over the weekend. I don't know much more details beyond that. And also, it was a little late to get in the bulletin, but Carolyn Dickey, am I getting the right name right, passed away last week also. She was a member here for a while. They moved away almost 2 years ago to stay with family. She's been in hospice care for a while. So please keep the Dickey family and the Zissler families in your prayers. Yes, Jane.
Well, my mom's kind of struggling with anemia. I guess it is. We're not sure. She's going to have a bone marrow biopsy this morning.
If there's no other prayers, let's follow along in our bulletin. Sisters and brothers in Christ, why do you trust in God? May your trust in our loving God bring you peace to you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Let us join together in prayer. Holy God, it's amazing to think that you are truly with us throughout everything. It's hard to imagine that you are with us in the hospital room as well as the wedding hall, that you are with us in the empty field as well as the crowded classroom. But remind us that you are. Help us to remember that we are never alone, whatever we are dealing with, sickness, hurt, frustration or loneliness, you are with us. You have walked this lonesome valley, and you can be our companion. Lord, remind us that we can also serve you in being companions for others. Help us be your loving hands and feet to share as you shared with us. Lord, we be with all those families that we have heard here spoken, as well as those who remain unspoken. Help them in the knowledge that while it can be very scary, they are not alone either. Lord, be always with us. Amen. Let us join together as the family for the work of the family. Let us join together in prayer. Holy God, remind me that it is not just my gifts that makes the church, that it is all the gifts coming together. I need others to make the family work. Lord, encourage us to bring all our gifts together to see what beauty we can do in your name. In your Son's name we pray. Amen. Since we have a carry-in downstairs, or a potluck, I always pick up the wrong word, let's join together for our prayer of blessing for our meal. So please take up someone else's hand. Do not let there be any stragglers. In the family, everyone's included. Somebody go get the back row. You guys can move. Come on. Come here, you three. This is like a weird etch sketch. Come here. Or a Rector set. Let's see. This works. Let's join together in prayer. Holy God, thank you for this chance of fellowship. We know that certainly as food nourishes our body, conversation and time nourishes our relationships. Lord, use this time to bond us together as a family. Strengthen us through old stories and new jokes, a wonderful presence, and yours always over us. Amen. Friends, go in the peace, knowing that God is always with you. Thank you for the use of your head.
This has been a podcast of the Bluffton Presbyterian Church in Bluffton, Ohio. For more information, visit us at blufftonpc.org. Have a blessed week.